So good to see you this morning. I tell you, it's just a joy to be a Christian. And it's a blessing to be an American. And it's a double blessing to be a Christian American. Those two do go together. And I trust they do for you as well. I encourage you to participate in the activities of the celebration of our 250th birthday. This afternoon, in fact, I understand it's already started right about now in Washington, D.C., an event called Rededicate 250. So the National Mall in Washington, you'll have access to that this afternoon on television. I encourage you to tune into that and actually participate in it. Have times of scripture reading and testimony and prayer for rededication of our nation to God. That we'd be one nation under God. You hear that? One nation under God. One nation under God. Indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Franklin Graham this past week said, our nation's in trouble. I think many of us already knew that. But I like what John MacArthur said a few years ago. John MacArthur said, the nation will never experience revival until the church experiences revival. Amen. The church is the key. The church is the key. So I hope over these next few days, and Franklin Graham has initiated through his organization 50 days of prayer for our nation that lead us up to July the 4th. And that's already started. I would just encourage you to plug into that and pray. There's a pastor each day from a different state for 50 days praying for our nation. Let me invite you to open your copy of God's Word this morning. The ancient words. Yeah. Luke chapter 20. If you would join me there in Luke chapter 20. As I share with you on the thought of the stewardship of citizenship. The stewardship of citizenship. As citizens of this country, we need to realize that there is a stewardship. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Stewardship is a requirement. And as citizens of this wonderful country, we have a stewardship requirement. The word steward simply means manager. That we, under God, are managers of our personal stewardship. So I want to challenge you this morning from the Word of God. We're looking in Luke chapter 20. I want to read beginning in verse number 20. And the context, if you look back in verse 19, is that there are some religious leaders, some scribes and chief priests that were trying to undermine the ministry of Jesus and trying to catch him in some bad stuff because the crowds were very supportive and were turning in great numbers to Jesus. So we want to begin reading in verse number 20. If you would stand in honor of the Word of God, if you're able to do that, would do that. The ancient words, Luke chapter 20, beginning verse number 20, and they watched him and sent forth spies that which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they ask him, say, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teaches the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? And they answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things that be Caesar's, and unto God the things that be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer, and held their peace. Father, thank you for this portion of your divinely inspired word today, and I pray as we think about our stewardship of our citizenship, I pray the Spirit of God would take the Word of God and help us to understand how lively, how living it is, and that we might respond to you appropriately in faith and trust and obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. There is an unmistakable link between good citizenship and freedom. Many years ago, there was a man that was pastor of First Baptist Church, Jackson, Mississippi, Frank Pollard. Some of you may remember Dr. Pollard. He was the speaker for a number of years on what used to be the Baptist Hour. It was a Sunday morning radio program that many in my day would tune into. Dr. Pollard was a very intelligent man. He wrote a book entitled Keeping Free. Keeping Free. He made this observation, he said, about freedom. He said, no world power has ever kept its freedom. Many have fought for and won freedom, but none have kept it for long. It takes courage to win freedom. It takes character to keep it. Freedom does, this is Dr. Pollard speaking now, freedom does one thing. Freedom allows us to make choices. If we make the wrong choices, we lose our freedom. I think with that said, it's incumbent upon us to do all we can do to make sure that as a nation, we're making right choices. That we will not lose our freedom. President Dwight Eisenhower gave this observation. He said, the people that values its privileges over its principles soon lose both. If we value our principles or our privileges, if we value our privileges over our principles, which do we value more? Do we value our privileges or our principles? Are we good stewards of our freedom? Paul said that we're stewards. Moreover, it is required. He said it's not optional. Stewardship in every area of the Christian life is not a pick and choose, it's mandatory. It's required that a steward be found faithful. And so the question this morning is how can we as Christians make an impact? How can we be good stewards of the citizenship that we enjoy today as Americans? Three things that I want to point out to you today. Number one, we're good stewards of our citizenship through our prayer lives. I appreciate Jim Ed sharing with us this morning how important it is that we have times of prayer. Years ago, the United States Senate chaplain, name was Richard Halverson, and he said, failing to pray for our political leaders is one of the greatest sins of the modern church. So I would just ask you, as I asked myself this morning, how much prayer time do we spend praying for those who are in positions of leadership, nationally, state, county, local? We have an obligation as stewards of our freedom to make sure that we pray for those. And when Paul says, moreover, it is required that a man be found faithful, Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he's saying, well, to pray for our leaders, the number one leader over Paul was Nero. There was a lot that Paul didn't agree with Nero on. See, we don't have to agree with everything that our leaders do, but we do have an obligation, a stewardship, to make sure we pray for them. I've had the privilege of going to Ukraine 3 different times a number of years ago. Our state convention, Baptist State Convention, had a partnership with the Baptist Union of Ukraine. So the first trip I took, well, I went with a number of pastors, and we were just exploring how we might partner with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Ukraine. I know there's a lot going on in Ukraine. I want to tell you today, there's a lot that's going on that get a lot of attention as far as press is concerned related to Ukraine. Let me tell you what's happening in Ukraine today. There's a lot political. A lot of extreme between Ukraine and Russia. But I want to tell you, there's some precious dear brothers and sisters in Christ that are in Ukraine today that are hurting. But one day in that trip to Ukraine, me and a friend that I was partnering with, we went to an orphanage, and we went into that orphanage. We met the headmaster. His name was Alexander. Alexander was a very stern-faced. Somebody told us that he was a former member of the KGB. And so we toured the orphanage. It was a Christian orphanage. And when we got through, we went to the cafeteria and we sat down, and they had some very hospitable, and they shared some refreshments with us. And we, of course, was talking through the interpreter. And we were getting ready to leave, and I felt the impression. I said, Brother Alexander, I said, how can we pray for you? That hefty, stern-faced man all of a sudden melted. Tears welled up in his eyes. Tears began to run down his face. And without hesitation, he said, please pray that we don't lose our freedom. See, there was a country that had been under communist domination for 70 years. He knew what it was like to live without freedom. Honestly, this morning, I can't tell you what it was like to not have freedom. But there was a man that says, number one on the prayer list is, please pray that we don't lose our freedom. I want to suggest to you this morning, that's a good prayer for us to pray. Lord, protect our freedom. Help our leaders to make decisions by asking the question, what is the wise thing to do? Lord, guide us and lead us. We have an obligation to to pray for our leaders. The stewardship of citizenship begins with prayer. Number two, as citizens, we also have an obligation not to just pray, but to pay. P-A-Y. Right there in the scripture that we read this morning. They were trying to trick Jesus, and Jesus said, "Give me a coin." He took that coin, he said, "Whose inscription, whose image is on this? And what's the superscription on this coin?" And they said, "It's Caesar's." And Jesus said, "Give Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give God what belongs to God." I'll be the first to admit to you this morning that when it comes to paying taxes, I'm going to take every deduction I can take. Are y'all with me? But then that said, I have an obligation as a good citizen to pay my taxes. I don't have to agree with everything that's done. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But did you notice that Jesus gave them more than they asked for? Lord, should we pay taxes? And Jesus said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God." You give God what belongs to God. So I'm just saying to you this morning, it's important to pray, but it's also important to pay. I'm trying to figure out how I want to process this. It's coming, y'all. Just hang on. I feel real strongly about this. And I don't want to be misunderstood. You know, the scripture says the tithe is the Lord's. That's not. Moreover, it is required. Now let me ask you, a steward, moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let me tell you this morning, give to God what belongs to God. What belongs to God? How much? 50%? 10%? 90%? How much belongs to God? If you go back 1 Corinthians chapter 4 again, where Paul said more is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, if you go down a little bit below that, Paul asked a question of the Corinthians. He said, "What have you got that you didn't receive?" And if you received it, why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? Lord, help us now. You see, the reality is we're accountable as stewards to God, not for 10%, but for 100%. Not just the tithe that we give, but what we do with the rest of it. It's all His. It's His. In fact, the reality is the ancient word tells us you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You know, I was thinking about that and praying through that this week. I got to hurry. I was thinking about the tithe this week, and I thought about the little widow woman. She's got to make a choice. Do I tithe my little monthly income, or do I buy groceries? Do I tithe, or do I buy medicine? You know, that ought not to have to be a choice. We ought not have to be a choice. So don't you think through that. You think about it. That little widow woman, by faith, ties that 10% to the church. She's faithful with the rest of it. How does she have groceries and how does she have medicine? The church. If you go back to Acts chapter 6 and you find the beginning of the office of deacon, you know what those deacons, why that office came into being? Because the widows were being neglected in the daily administration. There was a need that surfaced. What I'm suggesting to you today is that the leadership of the church ought to be so sensitive and know what's going on in the life of the people in the church that there's a need, that those needs don't have to come to them, but they respond because they're interacting. They know what's happening in the lives of the people of the church. Y'all all right? Y'all hear what I'm saying? And if everybody is being good stewards in the church, and there's a need, there's somebody, I don't know how they get these statistics, okay? I'm just telling you what to say. 20% of the people give 80% of their money. 30% give 20%. Now that's 50% of the people and 100% of the money. Well, that means half the folks on our church rolls don't give anything. What would happen if we were being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and the needs were being met locally? I'm telling you, there are a lot of needs that are having to be met from Washington. Let me tell you, them folks in Washington don't know you. They don't know you. Well, what if the needs were being sensed and met right here in the local church? There's a stewardship factor in that. And if that was the case, the need in Washington would go down, taxes would go down, and that's another sermon for another day. I think y'all understand what I'm saying. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Do I need to go back over that again? If I do, see me on the way out, and we'll try to. By the way, we'll talk about it tonight. If you come back to church tonight, on Sunday night, we're going back over the sermon from Sunday morning and giving the opportunity to respond and ask questions. If I don't have the answers, I'll ask some of the deacons, and they'll have them. Stewardship of citizenship. Number one, pray. Number two, pay. Number three, participate. We have an obligation to participate in the process. What happens this coming Tuesday? If I understand, is Hillbilly Baptist Church still a polling place? That is wonderful. That this church opens up the doors. But you know what they tell me? There's a huge percentage of the people that are registered to vote that won't come vote on Tuesday. Now that's sad, but I want to tell you what's more sad is if you don't come and vote. You have an obligation, you have a stewardship of your citizenship to be involved in the process, to know who the candidates are. I want to tell you, it burdens my heart to turn on my television and all they can do is trash the other candidates without giving you any insight of what they want, what they believe they can do, and the difference that they want to make. You have an obligation to be informed. You go to their websites and you find out where they stand and you vote. Lord, what is the wise thing to do? You be informed. You vote. And don't take it a step further. You encourage others, good Christian
men and women to be involved in the process and to run for. What we need in our community, what we need in Washington, D.C., is godly men and women that stand on the principles and the truths of the ancient word and are unwilling to compromise. And I'm not tagging along behind somebody else, but I'm tagging along behind the word of God, and I'm building convictions from the word of God. I think that's a good place to stop. Amen. Did you get it? The stewardship of citizenship is not just something that I take in and enjoy and appreciate. No, I need to be involved. Jesus said it this way: you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. God help us to take our citizenship, our stewardship of our citizenship, very, very seriously. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Lord, not a place in this world. Not a place in this world I'd rather live than the United States of America. Thank you for our privileges. Lord, thank you for our privileges. Help us to stand on our principles. May we rededicate ourselves this 250th year to do all we can do by surrendering our all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand together as we